This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Oh, this is going to be a fun day today. I have three guests. I have first in the studio with me, Johnny Clark. Hi, Johnny.
How you doing, Patsy?
Oh, I am so happy to welcome you back. Johnny is a real American hero. He won the Silver Star. His book, Guns Up, is a bestseller and is just a marvelous book. It's one of my favorite military books, and I'm looking forward to talk to Johnny between my two other interviews. First, I'm going to be talking to Sarah Paretsky. As all of you know, she is an amazing author, and I'm so excited because I was supposed to have her on, but I didn't have enough time. That's why I need all of you to support Joy on Paper. And now I have Sarah. So I'm just going to go straight to her. Right, Sarah?
Hi, Patsy.
Oh, hi. Oh, it's so great. I was just telling, I have another guest in the studio, and I was mentioning that I had to miss your last book because I didn't have enough time. I'm only on 2 days a week, and I wish I was on 4 days a week so I could get everybody. But I am so thrilled to have you today for Fallout. You do it all the time and you've done it again. It is amazing. For everybody.
Well, thank you.
Well, V.I. Warshawski is so fantastic a character. And not too long ago, I was talking to Carolyn Hart, and she was telling me that really she owes her career to you. Because
awfully kind of her. Carolyn is a wonderful woman and a fine, fine storyteller. So, I'm grateful to her.
Oh, she loves you. She loves you so much. And, of course, she mentions you in her books because you really paved the way for female authors. And, you broke all those barriers and really making a female detective who was strong and powerful and didn't have to wait around for some guy to solve the problem.
Yes, she was kind of the experience that real women really have in our lives. All those times late at night when the basement is flooding and the dog is going insane, and boy, it would be nice if Sir Galahad was around, but he's not. You fix it yourself, and basically that is the experience that V.I. shares, that
she does in all her books. You know, and of course, the wonderful thing. Now, this book is quite, everything I know about Chicago actually comes from you, because it's very, it's very funny. I'm from the Midwest. I'm from Detroit. Well, from Michigan.
Oh, okay.
And of course, I'm a Tigers fan, and we were never really, really, really impressed with Chicago, let's put it that way. And for some reason, I never got to Chicago. So my entire view of Chicago is through your eyes.
Oh, excellent. I keep it that way.
I will. I think it's fantastic. I love to get into your neighborhood because, I know I'm going to have a great story. Although in this book, we get out of the neighborhood and we head to Kansas, which is quite a change for V.I.
Yes, I made V.I. go back to, I grew up in Kansas. I grew up in that heartland, that flyover country that people think is just miles of empty space. We knew that we were expendable. The Cold War was kind of hot and close at hand. We all drove past missile silos on our way to school, and V.I. goes in Fallout back to the Kansas of my childhood. She's actually searching for a missing film actress, but she ends up in my hometown and ends up dealing with the fallout, as it were, of all of those old Cold War battles.
I think it was a great premise, and I was wondering, did you actually go back and Do you still have family in Kansas?
I do still have family. I'm often there, but I'm there as an outsider anymore. And it was strange for me to try to bring my own hometown to life and make it seem like a vital place. It took me a number of months before I could actually shift my brain from seeing it from the outside to seeing it from the inside.
Well, do they have a Sarah Paretsky Day now?
I'm not sure they will after reading this book, but my mother was the children's librarian there, and some of the action is set in the Lawrence Public Library. The head librarian plays quite a heroic role in Fallout. And I also take advantage of, my dad was a cell biologist at the University of Kansas. He did something quite extraordinary. He wanted to study a particular organism that the Russians were using to build bioweapons from. And he went to a conference in Czechoslovakia, and he persuaded a Czech scientist to inject him with the organism that they were working on. He came home to Kansas. He was running a fever of 104. Got off the plane, would not start antibiotics until his lab tech took a blood sample for him to culture so that he could see what the Russians were actually working on. And that story, I've never known why he did it. I don't know if he did it just out of heroism, out of obsession, out of a lack of impulse control. He liked thumbing his nose at authority. He proved he could smuggle this organism out past the Russian guards. I'll never know why he did it, but that story has always haunted me, and the book is kind of a way of thinking through, why did he do this? What did he do? What was the fallout, as it were, from his doing that?
Well, we always say this. It happens with you that this book, and we say this is the best, and then of course another one comes out, but it is really, really good. And I think that, as I said, it's a change of pace for VI to be out of Chicago, but a good change. You just wove a fantastic story here. And, of course, she has a dog with her. So. And, of course,
the book is on sale today, and I'm not getting to very many cities to sign books, but please, if you want a signed, personalized copy, go to my website, go to sarahparetsky.com. The bookstores where I will be are listed there. Call any of them. I will be glad to personalize a book for anyone, anywhere in the world, and the store will ship it to you. So that's always an option.
Well, everybody should get the book today, and then they can be one of the first to review it. I always love to be one of the first to review a book, so because it's on sale today. So this is really exciting for you.
It never
stops being exciting.
It's not raining, snowing, or anything. It's bright sunshine, so I'm pretty happy.
And it's so funny. I know that you always say that you're never sure if you can do it again, but you always do it again. And all of your fans know.
Thank you. I hope you're right, from your lips to my fingers on the keyboard.
Well, we know you can do it again, because you are so amazing. There's so much to you. There's such a depth going all the way back to the early years where you were active in politics. Think of this. Active in changing the whole women's movement and creating so many wonderful opportunities for women. And I know that this has been a very important part of your life. So it's just, you have such depth that there's so much to draw upon there.
Well, that's very generous of you, Patsy. Thank you. Thank you for those very kind words.
Well, I've always wanted to ask you a couple of questions. And one is, how did a Jewish girl end up getting a scholarship to study German in Vienna?
that was kind of a fluke.
yeah.
Yes, I was 18 years old, and it was a very strange summer that I spent there. Not sure how much German I actually learned, although it comes back to me when I go overseas. But, boy, that was the Second World War was still very present, you know, all over Europe, with the ruins and bullet holes in buildings, and it was a tense time. It was a tense time to be a Jew in a desolate landscape, for sure.
Yeah, and I always wondered what it felt like for you at that point in time. I did that a little later, a few years later than you, but you were there when exactly things were still very much, you know, that whole sort of era of the Cold War was so strong, and I just wondered what it was like for you to be in Vienna then.
To tell you the truth, a lot of times I felt as if I were a ghost. It just seemed so. It was just hard to be there as someone whose family had been obliterated in Europe by the regime and by their collaborators, and then to know that if I'd been there, I would be dead.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like a ghost.
Yeah, you do. You feel
strange. I went to Vienna not so long ago doing research for a book that I wrote called Critical Mass, which was set in the world of the race for the atom bomb, and it was the anniversary of the beginning of the Second World War, and they had signs up in one of the bookstores saying, in history on this date, England and France attacked Germany and started the Second World War. And I was like, guys, this is 2015. I think it's time to face the facts and to know that that is not how the war began.
I know it is strange to go there. It is for a Jewish girl to go there. It's always sort of a haunting experience. That's how I would put it when I was there.
Yeah. How old were you when you went?
Well, about your age, about that same age. I was also very young, and it was I had one of those encounters where, because I happened to be blonde and blue-eyed, and I'm having a very nice at a very nice event with very nice people, talking very nicely about history and books and, you know, literature and the world events and stuff, and suddenly they start with that whole spiel. I listen to them for a little while, and then very slowly I reach into my sweater and I pull out my Mogan David, and they're like, okay, we just opened our big mouths. But yeah, so it's an experience.
Yeah.
But I've always thought about that when I you know, because I do my, well, it's not that I have to do my research on you, because I know that, you know, you of course wrote writing in an age of silence, and that was your biography, and of course you tell there a lot of the stories, and I think people should read that. Anyone who loves your books should really read Writing in an Age of Silence, because I think it fills in all of the sort of things that are in your books, because you have in your books biographical information, you know, that you sort of throw in there into your books, and I think that that Writing in an Age of Silence is a great biography. One of the best, you know, author biographies, I think.
Well, thank you for that. Fallout also actually looks at some of the history of race relations in the Midwest and in my hometown. And I think when we get close to home, we can find that we have some uncomfortable history of our own to deal with. And going to a small town, If you grew up in a small town, which you didn't, but there are so many secrets that everybody knows, but nobody speaks, because, you know, that's how the society keeps going, by keeping everything buttoned up and bottled up. And in Fallout, when VI, the big city girl, comes to the small town, that is a situation that she is not used to. She's used to the city where people will tell you anything if you ask the right question. And operating outside her normal support network, it was a challenge for her, and it was a challenge for me. I'd be there at night looking at what I'd written during the day and thinking, there's got to be a way for her to solve this problem, but right now I cannot figure it out.
Well, we would tell readers that they have to read this book to find out if she does, and it's available today. And also, as you said, people can go to your website, sarahporetsky.com, and order an autographed version. And it's just so wonderful to talk to you. I think that you are an amazing writer and an amazing person. Do you ever sort of think if you had stayed in politics today, you could be president of the United States?
I think that I do not have the stamina for that kind of campaign or those kind of attack ads. My hat's off to Hillary for the poise she kept during all of that.
Well, I know
that was not something I could have done. If I was 10 years younger, though, I might run for Congress.
Oh, well, see, it was in you, I think. But I think we have all benefited from the fact that you decided to write. And as I said, this is the 18th, right?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
The 18th Warshawski book.
It's amazing. And
she is, she's still trucking. I'm in the early stages of writing a new book.
But well,
it happens slowly with me. I wish I was the kind of writer who could write a book every 8 or 9 months, but I'm not. So,
well, that's okay.
You
work on it till it's just perfect, and that's when we get it. So we're so happy about that.
Thanks, Patsy. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Well, thank you, Sarah, for being on today, and I'll have you back for the next. And as a matter of fact, maybe you'd like to come back one time just to talk about the biography, because I really like to encourage people to write biographies and autobiographies. And so I think, you know, if you would come back on, it would be wonderful.
Oh, I would enjoy that. That was a powerful journey for me, writing that book, Writing in an Age of Silence. So,
well,
it's
a wonderful piece of work, and I would really love to have you back on, okay?
Thanks a lot, Patsy. It's a deal.
Okay, great. Bye now, Sarah. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, it is a good book. I'm just holding it up to the camera for anyone who is looking on camera. It's Sarah Porecki, and it's Fallout. And as I said, for those of you who know her books, which are always, well, almost always set right there in Chicago, this one takes her out back to Kansas. Boy, she had a rough childhood, I can tell you. And it's amazing what she managed to overcome. She had a very, very rough childhood. And her start wasn't easy. When she first started, she was also rejected many times. Her first book sold only 3,000 copies, and she thought that was the end of it. But she persevered. And I'm back here with Johnny Clark. And I know Johnny Clark perseveres because he is, as I said, an American hero. He got the Silver Star, and we're so, so proud to have him on Joy on Paper. I want to do one commercial. Let's just do the MyPillow, because MyPillow is our big sponsor here, okay? And then we'll be right back.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
Mike is offering 50% off his 4-pack special.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-871-1543 and use the promo code PATSY, and Mike will offer you free shipping. Once again, that's 800-871-1543, promo code PATSY, P-A-T-Z-I.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
I'm back with my guest, Johnny Clark, who's in the studio with me, and we're waiting for one more call-in today. I have David Baldacci coming on the phone soon, and we'll talk to him. But I want to mention that the reason I have Johnny today is that I'm just so proud to know him because he won a Silver Star, like my dad. But he also won three Purple Hearts, and I'm happy to say my father didn't win Purple Hearts because he didn't get hurt. But it's just so wonderful to have you in the studio, Johnny.
Thank you, Patsy. It's kind of fun to be here. I like listening to
okay,
this conversation.
Well, we're going to talk in a little while about what you're working on. And I know that one of the books that you're working on now is, what is it? It is Section 8?
Well, Section 8 is finished. It's finished, but that's the one I'm kind of, I really want to push right now, I think. But I'm actually working on two other books. One is also finished. I'm looking for a publisher. It's called The Harlot's Cup. And my newest book is called Walk a Little Further. And it's a subject it's the most personal book I've ever tried to write. And I'm not ready to push it yet.
Well, we'll work on it.
Okay.
But tell us, Section 8 is Section sounds
8,
like a good title.
It's a military comedy. Section 8's
I love military comedy.
Well, that's when a guy is basically has combat fatigue, and he's seen too much combat, and he's crazy. And it's a comedy about a bunch of crazy Marines. But it's based on historical truth. It's during the time in 1946 when Harry Truman was trying to disband the Marine Corps. And a lot of people don't know that Harry Truman hated the Marine Corps. But he tried to get rid of the Marine Corps and actually would have gotten rid of the Marine Corps if the Korean War hadn't started.
Wow. And that was, my father always said that he was so anxious to join after the, Pearl Harbor, that he joined the Army. But he was, I think, always, he said, I should have been a Marine, because there's something about a Marine, that's for sure.
Well, thanks. I think so, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So there's it's fantastic. So this, and it's a comedy. I love that.
Yeah, it's a comedy. I think it's got some of the most original characters you're ever going to read about.
Wow, that's we're going to look forward to that one. Is it already out?
Yeah, it's already out. It's on Amazon and it's on Kindle, but one publishing house is looking at it now. But I'm not sure I'm going to go with them.
I'm
still open for another publisher.
Okay, yeah, well, we're going to put the word out there to all you publishers and all you agents who are listening today, and I know that there are quite a few of you. And I'm always so thrilled to talk to literary agents, and I have some more lined up coming in April, May, and June. I'm going to have quite a few literary agents on. And go to my website. It's radio-joyonpaper.com, and I have a special section there for agents. And you can read about the agents that I'm going to be listing there. I will put some information, and also I'm going to put up all the agent interviews so you can listen to what agents are looking for. And the important thing, when you write query letters, all you writers out there, your query letters should be personalized. You should be contacting an agent because you know the type of book that they are interested in. It really doesn't help you to send query letters to people who are looking for books about zombies. Books about romance and you're writing military history. So you have to plan it. And now I am planning to turn over to a telephone interview with somebody who I just talked to recently, David Baldacci.
Hi,
David. Oh, well, you're back. I just talked to you a month ago about The Width of the World, which I love. You're back. Well, you are a prolific guy here. I was thinking when I read this book. Okay, this book, The Fix, the new book, The Fix, is so good. It is, to me, it's like a bag of Jelly Bellies. It is such a delicious book. I mean, it is so good. You start off with the licorice ones because those are always the best. And your first chapter, it is 5 pages of absolute pure licorice. It is so good. Action. Wow. I could say it sort of blew my mind. And you would understand why I say that.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. I don't want to say more than that, but that is a good way to describe that first 5 pages. We always talk about having, you know, we really want to grab that reader in those first chapter, and you have done it with this one. After you start, well, I have to blame you. I didn't do laundry. I didn't do anything. I really, for 2 days, and I had to control myself not to read it in a day. Like 2.5 days, I said, oh, forget everything. I'm reading this book because the fix has to be, it's so good. It's another, it's an Amos Decker book, and let's talk a little bit about Amos Decker.
You know, we first met him in The Memory Man. He was a former football player who suffered a brain trauma on the field and nearly died and came out of a coma with an altered brain, a brain that had rewired itself around the trauma. And he has a condition called hyperthymesia, which means he can never forget anything, has perfect recall. And he becomes a detective. And in The Memory Man, we find that his family was murdered, and he discovered the bodies, and that's something he'll never be able to forget. Because of his memory recall capability, he'll remember it as if it just happened every day, that memory will never fade, which is quite a sad thing. Now, in The Fix, he's working for the FBI, and he's going to a meeting at the Hoover Building in downtown Washington. He's on the street.
No, stop.
Yeah.
I don't want you to tell.
That's the first chapter.
I think I mentioned it to you before. I really am getting annoyed with I didn't want to know until I read that book. People have to just read it. I mean, forget what everything. First of all, they have to know if it's David Baldacci, it's going to be a great book. They don't need anything else. Just sit down. And this book was so good. I can actually remember where I was sitting when I opened the book. The wind was blowing. It was a beautiful day. And I start this book and I think, oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. It's so good. It was a licorice moment. And then throughout this book, you have so many layers to it. Of course, we have Amos, and we could almost give all of them, all of the different storylines and all of the different things, a different flavor, but they're all interesting, all exciting. And we even have, it's such a timely book because it does talk about things that are happening today, and things that happened in the past. And it's such a mystery. There are so many. There are clues, and for somebody who's a mystery connoisseur like I am, I'm looking for those clues, but it's just one thing after another, and it's fantastic.
Well, I appreciate it. I worked hard on the book, but writing Amos Decker is really gratifying for me. I just relate to him in so many ways, even though he's very quirky and different and unpredictable. But I tried in this book to really deepen his character, where he sort of have these interior monologues of himself. He knows he's very annoying and frustrating for his friends because he misses so many social cues, and he understands that, but there's nothing he can do about it. But you see him trying to come to grips with it and trying to be better about it, and it humanizes him. He's not just this perfect recall brain that can solve mysteries. He's a guy trying to figure himself out, and I think that really helps him relate to the reader.
Well, it does. I think he's a wonderful character. The other characters in the book are also great. I like Harper Brown.
Yes.
Very, really well-done character. Well, all of them. I mean, you are able to bring in all of these different storylines and weave them together. It's fantastic. And I'm not even going to talk about the last chapter. When I got to the last chapter, I said, oh, my gosh, oh, my God. You know, it's exactly like a bag of Jelly Bellies. If you've been just eating one after another, you might not have left any licorice for the end. But luckily, at the end, I mean, we're talking action. Woo! One one little twist and turn after another. There's so much in this book, some really old-fashioned things like code breaking and all sorts of hints of this and that, and it's fantastic.
Oh, that's great. I'm really glad you enjoyed it. I think people are going to be glad to see him back.
Oh, I think so. It's one of these books that you read and you just, afterwards you say, whoa, did I go on a ride here? This was fantastic. I mean, like, you take a breath and you say, this is really fantastic. So I think you did a great job. That's all.
Thank you.
That's all I have to say. And I'm telling everybody they have to get this book and just start reading it. And don't pre-read anything so you don't know what's going to happen. Because I didn't know what was going to happen. And so, boy, when it happens, and as I say, you blew my mind. And it was delightful. It was delightful, absolutely delightful. And everyone will love the ending. And so, again, you've done it again. What can I say? You know, I talked to Sarah Paretsky earlier this morning. And she did it. She did it with her book, Fallout, her new book. And
right now, she's fantastic.
She is. She's amazing. And you, well, as I said, I have to have you. I'm thinking about having you on every month, and we could start all the way back. We'll start with your first book, and then we'll do one book a month, because I love promoting the old books, the books that are out there. It's so wonderful that now, you know, thanks to the internet, we can buy those books.
That's right.
And yeah. I do encourage listeners, buy the Kindle version, because don't buy that secondhand hardback version. The author doesn't get any money for that. I mentioned that to one reader, and she said, "Oh, I never thought of that." I said, "Yeah, I mean, you're paying for a secondhand version. What you could, you know, get the Kindle version, which is just wonderful, and then the author will make some money from it."
That's right. It's a good point.
So, no, it is, because, you know, people are willing to do that. When I mentioned it to her, and I was talking to her about a Mary Higgins Clark, and she was saying she was going to get the secondhand version, I said, no. Buy the Kindle version. Not that Mary Higgins Clark needs the money, you know.
Right.
But still, it's the principle of the thing. And for other authors who do need the money, I think it's wonderful if you're going to buy, if you can get a secondhand version, Kindle version for the same price as a secondhand, get the Kindle version so that the author will make money.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Isn't that very nice? I'm very nice,
yes,
because
is.
I think about authors, and I always think about how they need to make money so that they can have more time to write more. And you're like, you need this time, because it was so funny. You know, as I said, you were on a month ago for The Width of the World, and I had such nice reaction. I went to Sunday school, and I brought a copy to one of the girls there who's as a matter of fact, she's the first girl who told me about that you were writing for younger people, and I was so thrilled with that, and so I was so happy to bring it to her, and she was so happy. Because I know that one of the reasons that you wanted to reach a younger audience is to encourage reading. And it is so important. Because all of you writers out there need more readers. And to encourage them at a young age. And I know you and your wife are deeply involved in reading programs.
Yeah, through the Wish You Well Foundation, we fund literacy programs across the country. And, you know, that's been a great program for us, and to help people read and read at a higher level. And, you know, it just helps people realize their potential.
And how can people donate to that fund?
They can go to wishyouwellfoundation.org. It'll give them all types of information about the foundation, how they can volunteer, how they can send books, how they can donate.
Okay. So that's a good idea. Really, people do that, because it's so important. And I know that for me, reading has been, my life. I mean, I realize now I never knew why I read so much, and I never knew what I was going to do with all the books that I collected over the years. And sometime when I hit around 5,000 books, my husband said, why? And it took a few years just 2 years ago when I got the idea of, well, I'll do a radio program, because that's all I know. I only know about books. And so it's you know, so important that we encourage people to read.
Absolutely. No, it's been a big part of my life, too.
Well, I think that with the new book, The Fix, it's fantastic. And I wanted to ask you, what is the best book that anybody's ever given you?
Oh, my goodness. Years ago, a book that made me start thinking about thrillers and writing mysteries was In Cold Blood by Truman Capote. Somebody gave that to me when I was in college, and I read it when I was working as a security guard, paying my way through college, and the book was terrifying in the randomness of the crime, and that really was a book that made me start thinking about writing, you know, mysteries and thrillers, because up to that point, I really hadn't given that a lot of thought, but I love the intricacy of the plot and the development of the characters and just the high stakes, and really, you know, remember that book for a long, long time.
And what book would you give to someone, not one of your books? I know you'd give your books, but what book would you give as a gift? What's the best book that you can think of to give as a gift?
One that I think that will make you care deeply about people and never judge someone unless you've walked in their shoes, and I knew the author and well before he passed away, is Sophie's Choice by William Styron. That is a book that will make you think deeply about the human consciousness and about just the lives of other people and the decisions that people have to make, horrendous decisions. And I think it'll make you, you know, think more about your own life and the choices you made in your life. And it's a book that has some humor, a book that has great heart to it, but a book that is profoundly moving and I think would stick with you.
Well, I think that's a great suggestion. And I'm just going to suggest to all my listeners that they, if they have anybody who has a birthday coming up, the perfect gift is The Fix by David Baldacci.
That's great.
Well, I am so grateful to have you on again. As I said, you always give us a great book, a delicious book in this case, a real bag of jelly bellies. And so it's just been absolutely delightful to talk to you today, and I hope to talk to you again in the near future. And one of the things I just want to tell people is that they should go to your website. It's a good website, and they can find out more about you there. And I just want to thank you. I know you have to go because you have a big day, but I just want to thank you again.
No, it's always great talking to you. I look forward to talking to you again for the next book.
Okay. Bye, David.
Okay.
That was nice. I'm going to do a quick commercial break. Larson, let's do Larson and Larson because they are my patent lawyers and my intellectual property lawyers.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Every week on my program, Joy on Paper, I encourage writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Now I want to encourage you to try a MyPillow. Stop tossing and turning. Dream the night away on the patented MyPillow that will help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer. MyPillow has already sold over 25 million pillows, and here is your chance to join the millions of other people who are sleeping better than ever. Think about how you will wake up rested and ready to start the day. And think about dreaming up a plot for the next bestseller. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-871-1543 and use my promo code, PATZI, and support Joy on Paper, a program for all of you who want to hear from your favorite authors and to learn the story behind their books. Remember, use promo code PATZI and you will get 50% off premium pillows and 2 go anywhere pillows. Thanks.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with my guest, Johnny Clark, and we are going to be talking about some of his books. Hi, Johnny.
Hi, Patsy.
Okay. Thank you for being here for my other two interviews, because it is just so wonderful to talk to best-selling authors. I love to talk to best-selling authors. And of course, with Guns Up, you were a best-selling author, but that was 30 years ago. And we're working on getting you some more best-selling books, right?
That's a good idea.
That's a good idea. And of course...
Well, actually, Semper Fidelis made a couple of best-selling lists back then.
And that's another one of Johnny's books. And so tell me, Johnny, you mentioned Section 8 is a book that's out. And what's the other book that you're talking about?
The Harlot's Cup.
What is this book about?
The Harlot's Cup, it's a murder mystery. It's about the Harlot's Cup is something that's actually mentioned in the Bible, and it was an actual cup that Queen Semiramis would use during their satanic worship services, basically. And what she would do back many, many, many moons ago, which her followers would have to drink out of this cup, and in this cup was a drug, basically, sort of a truth serum. Well, then they would confess whatever they had to confess to these priests in Babylon. And of course, that way she could find out if somebody had something against the queen or the king or whoever, they'd find out and they'd eliminate them. So, but the Harlot's Cup itself, in biblical terms, you know, it's talking about false religious systems, which most of them started in Babylon. And so all these false religious systems that came out of Babylon are all connected by the Harlot's Cup. And I think the Harlot's Cup is still in existence right now. And I believe it's in the Vatican Museum. But where it is, you know, I couldn't swear to it, but I'm pretty sure it still exists.
Well, they have a lot of stuff in there they won't tell us about. I know that.
But it's going to lead to the harlot and the Antichrist.
So this is a sort of murder mystery.
Mystery. A little bit of
you.
The Omen. A little bit of Raiders of the Lost Ark. It starts in 1937 when a young fighter pilot stumbles upon it and falls in love with this beautiful woman who plays a major role in all this. And we follow his life, and then we follow his grandson, who picks up the quest.
So it sounds like an adventure.
It's an adventure. I think it's an adventure.
I can see from his sparkly eyes that Johnny had a lot of fun writing this book.
I did. I had a lot of fun. I worked on it for many, many years, and I've done a ton of research. So even though it is obviously fiction, a lot of it's based in historical fact. And the Panay incident, which happened in 1937, the sinking of the USS Panay, plays a major role in it. Because in 1937, when the Japanese sank the Panay, it almost started World War II early. And there were newsreels with films of the actual sinking of the Panay, and that plays a part in the mystery. And that's with modern technology, our sleuths basically discover there's something on those old newsreels that helps them break some of the mystery.
Well, it sounds exciting, and that isn't it wonderful as a writer how one idea, one little part of history can sort of lead you through, and you develop all these ideas for a story. It's exciting to create this, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's fun. It's fun when you do all the research, because there's a lot about Adolf Hitler in this thing, and Adolf plays his part in this mystery also. And a lot of the things that I discovered about Adolf and the Thal group, that was this mysterious evil group that Adolf Hitler was a part of. They studied the occult. They worshipped Satan, and some of the things that I discovered through that, of course, they weave their way through this mystery, and they play a major role in it. And so you can learn a lot of history as you have the fun of chasing this.
Well, that's one of the things I love about reading. Is, I mean, I think for me, why I've always read is it is like an ongoing mystery story. I read one book, and then it'll lead me to another one, because they might just have a passing mention of an event, and then I say, oh, well, I want to know about that event, and then the next thing I know, I want to, and it becomes a sort of a lifelong quest to always find something new, and it's so good for your mind. You really, you know, I telling people, you know, it really, when you start writing, it opens up your mind in so many ways. You might want to just start with a family history, and then you go back and you find out, whoa, they came on this ship, they came on, you know, on to this city, and you start that backward process of doing the investigation, and you learn so much about yourself, about your abilities. And now, when did writing come to you? When you, of course, I know one thing, you were a postman for a number of years.
Right. I was a martial arts instructor. That's what I've done. I just went to Korea not too long ago and tested for my ninth dan. So that's as high as I can go in Taekwondo. And I've taught judo and jujitsu and Taekwondo for a lot of my life. And I do a lot of hand-to-hand combat seminars. I've done them for the police and for even for FBI agents and things like that. So that when I was teaching martial arts at the University of South Florida, and I was a mailman during the day, I injured my back. I had originally injured it when I had to jump out of a chopper in Vietnam. The pilot had been killed, and we were coming in on a hot LZ, and that injured my back. And then as a mailman, it finally gave way. And so in one swoop, I lost my job being a mailman, and I lost my job teaching martial arts. So I decided I had to find a way to make a living without using my back. And I started taking creative writing courses. And I took the same class at St. Pete College about 15 times until I got my whole book critiqued. and that's how Guns Up got published.
Well, this is exactly what I want to tell all of you listeners out there, that you can, you know, you can do it if you determine like Johnny was. And that, I think that's very clever that he took one class and then over and over managed to go through his entire book. That's a good way to do it.
They would critique about, I think, 10 pages a week. So I just kept taking the class until they critiqued the whole book.
Well, that is clever. It's a very clever way to do it. I think that's great.
Well, you know, I'm writing screenplays also now, and I've written a screenplay for the Harlot's Cup, and I'm not sure if I like the screenplay better than the book, but John Dahl, a director in Hollywood who did The Great Raid, and he's done a bunch of movies, I can't remember them all, he's got the screenplay, and if I can get this book to fly, I think the screenplay's got a shot. We'll see.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic. That would be great. You know, of course, I know the problem of Hollywood, and there's a lot of turnaround and run around and
fruitcakes. A lot of fruitcakes
and some fruitcakes. a lot of nuts over there, but you never know. And I think
never know.
And you deserve the success, because as I said to everyone that. You know, Johnny is a real American hero, and we have to be so grateful to all of our guys, active duty guys, who are out there in harm's way every day. It's really so frightening what our military is facing. And so we're very grateful to you, Johnny, and I want to encourage you, as I mentioned, one of the things that all of you writers, the military is a potentially very large market. When the guys are deployed, they read, because it's not all, the terrible thing is it's not all action. They have to wait around a lot. Sometimes maybe not so much anymore. Maybe there'll be more action than there used to be. But it's a stressful environment. And so they do turn to books to read and to just connect to the world. And so I always encourage writers to get involved in. First of all, it's wonderful to volunteer for various military organizations to find out where you can help, and places like the USO and everywhere else, and then just to connect and also to give free books like to the Veterans Hospital. They really appreciate it.
During the first Gulf War, Random House gave 10,000 copies of Guns Up to the Marines that were waiting offshore when they thought the Marines were going to make a beach landing during that war. And one time watching the nightly news, they were showing what the Marines were doing to pass the time on board these ships. And there were two or three of them sitting on sea bags reading Guns Up. And I got quite a kick out of that.
Yeah.
And during the Battle of Fallujah, I actually got emails from guys from the combat zone, from squads of Marines who were reading my books. And boy, it choked you up.
Yeah,
it choked my wife up just reading these emails. It was pretty something.
That makes you feel good.
Yeah, it was pretty special.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much again for coming in, and I will have you back again around 4th of July. I'm going to have a couple of weeks there with military. I'm going to concentrate on military books because I love military books. And we have some, first of all, we have some very good local authors who have written military books. And so I'm looking forward to having you back sometime in July. And we will talk and the Harlots, it's the
Harlots Cup.
Harlots Cup. Mm-hmm. And is that available already?
Or no,
it's not published.
No.
You're looking for that.
Searching for a publisher now.
So. Okay, well, that sounds so intriguing. I hope that any publisher or agent listening will contact you because you have a website?
Yes, johnnyclark.com.
And not Johnny Walker. I don't know. Whenever I talk to Johnny Clark, I get this image of Johnny Walker.
Johnny Walker's good, too.
Johnny Walker, good, too. But Johnny Clark. And you can get his books online, of course, on Amazon. And you can go to his website, and you have a lot of good stuff on that website. And I think it's just wonderful what you're doing. And I want to tell everyone that I just hope that you will read a book today because it's so important. Get all those little gray cells in your head working. Read a good book. Start with Johnny. Go over to David DeBeldacci's The Fix. And, of course, you must read Sarah Paretsky's latest book, Fallout. It is a really good book. And I want to thank everyone for joining me today. And say something nice to somebody, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. I drive him crazy a lot, but he always manages to stay cool and calm because today one of the earphones didn't work, and I get panicky, but he looks so calm all the time, and he's got a big smile. He's like a big teddy bear. And I want to thank Big Ed. So, anyway, everybody say something nice to somebody today and have a great day. Bye for now.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay.